This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Eun Teck. For the past 11 years, my guest worked tirelessly at the Tobacco Control Unit in the Ministry of Health to reduce the number of smokers in Malaysia. Dr. Nizam Baharum also helped our government comply with the World Health Organization's Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. He recently joined the Faculty of Medicines and Health Sciences at University Science Islam Malaysia and is now a lecturer in public health. He joins me now to explain why he thinks 2018 is the best year to quit smoking. The last time we spoke, you were with the ministry, working closely on tobacco control. Mm-hmm. Now you teach at University Science Islam Malaysia on public health. Perhaps we can start there. Why have you moved into the education sector and what do you teach at the university?
Right. Thank you, Antek. Yes, you're right. I was with the Ministry of Health before, but I found that my interest is more towards academic and research. And that's why I moved to university. Mm-hmm. And I'm now a medical lecturer and a researcher there. Mm-hmm. It's my interest, really.
How long were you with the ministry?
I was with the ministry for about 11 years.
Wow. Yeah. So a lot of... Do you think you've made progress, Malaysia as a whole, in terms of tobacco control and trying to reduce the rate of smoking?
Well, with the commitment of the government to the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, I think we've done a lot of progress in terms of establishing programs and ground rules for tobacco control in Malaysia, and also organizing the facts and figures so that we can tailor-fit a tobacco policy for Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So I think we've done that so far. And now is to reinforce the program so that it'll be more effective and yield the results, hopefully. It's a slow process. It's not like acute illness like dengue or malaria. It's a slow chronic condition, and it will take time. But we are seeing some success for Malaysian youth, but little success on Malaysian adults.
So I guess the reason why we're doing this show is because you believe 2018 is the best year to quit smoking. Why do you think that?
Right. Well, any time is a good time for you to quit smoking.
Yesterday was the best time, isn't it?
Yeah. And it will be the best decision you will ever make for you and your loved ones. But I'm here to share why 2018 should be the year for you to quit smoking. And I'll explain why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, studies have shown that Malaysian smokers, they know that smoking is dangerous for their health. And majority, 70 to 85% of Malaysian smokers want to quit smoking. However, Malaysian smokers also love to self-quit, which yields very low success rate. And studies have shown that if you enroll yourself in quit smoking program, you can raise these chances even higher. So the Ministry of Health and various partners from local universities and multinational companies have recently renewed a memorandum of understanding, renewed the old one, which have ended in 2017, to further enhance the MQuit program. Mm. The MQuit program is a national smoking cessation program, and the objective is simple: to facilitate Malaysian smokers so that they can have better chances in quitting smoking or beating the addiction. It is not a business model. It's not a financial strategy. It's simply to help Malaysian smokers who we know want to quit, and we want to help them to quit successfully.
So how does it work? Is it like a quit clinic that someone go to and get treatment?
The treatment is the central part of the program, but it's not just that. Well, apart from the clinic kesihatan and government hospitals, around the country there are 88 additional private facilities like retail community pharmacies, private hospitals, certain institutions who are providing MQuit smoking cessation services. Just look for the MQuit logo whenever you visit your pharmacies. So more and more private partners are joining force with the government sector to provide a uniform and standardized smoking cessation services throughout the whole country. So if for a smoker, you can get the same treatment if you go to, for example, Caring Pharmacy, and then you follow up for later at the Klinik Kesehatan. So they will also follow the National Clinical Practice Guidelines.
So when you go to the pharmacy, for example, walk us through how does the program get you to quit?
Right. First of all, you should want to quit, or at least have a half-hearted decision to quit, which most smokers do. And then you go to these pharmacies or clinic kesehatan or hospital, whoever is providing the MQuit services, and then you will enroll with the program, and they will coach you on how to quit, what to do, what not to do, so that you will become, you will have higher chances to quit smoking. And not only that, you will also be supported by phone-based quitline services. It's based in USM, and these train smoking cessation coaches, they will follow you up and keep up the motivation to become a successful quitter. So far, in the past year, where they have been establishing this program, there are 11,818 smokers who have enrolled with this program. And since the renewal of the Memorandum of Understanding and increment of partners in this MOU as well, I predict 2018 will be the expansion of the program as well as making it more reachable for smokers to quit.
So this is completely free? For individuals?
Well, it depends which setup you go to. Okay. If you go to the government sites, it will be free, or you have to pay the minimal registration fee. But if you go to the retail pharmacies, you will be charged according to their charges. If you want further information, just Google jomquit.com. Right. And then Google will take you to a website of the MQuit program and the HERO website. Here you'll find where to find your nearest MQuit center, reasons to quit. You'll find stories from Malaysian smokers who have successfully quit smoking, like from people who have been smoking 2 packs per day for 20 years and managed to quit successfully, people who have beaten cancers, people who have regained their fitness and picking up exciting new sports because they have quit smoking. So just go to just Google jomquit.com.
How expensive is the network? Because I imagine if it requires a lot of travel to get to the nearest pharmacy that has this program or the nearest clinic that has this program, it will be another barrier, another hurdle that the smoker will have to overcome.
Not that difficult, actually. For those who live in big cities or urban areas, there will definitely be an MQuit center for you nearby. And even if you're in the rural area, majority of the clinic kesehatan or government hospital will provide this MQuit service. Mm. So it's not difficult for you to get help.
Right. So are nicotine patches or gum part of the process?
It can be.
Okay.
Studies have shown that pharmaceutical aid will increase the chance of quitting by 20-30%. So nicotine replacement therapy, non-nicotine medication like varenicline will also help raise your chance of quitting successfully and safely.
Mm-hmm. Is this the first such program that has been introduced in this country? Because I remember the nationwide Tak Nak smoking campaign, and it used to be that it's a method, it's a persuasive act, right, to get people to stop smoking. Like, is this the first time that a program has been launched to actively help smokers kick the habit?
Well, Tak Nak was the pioneer program, but Tak Nak was mostly, and I think Tak Nak was definitely government facilities only. It doesn't have partnership with the private sector. But this is the first public-private partnership on smoking cessation throughout the whole Malaysia. Even in Sarawak and Sabah, you will find MQuit centres. Some are provided by retail pharmacies.
I'm speaking today to Dr. Nizam Baharum. One in four Malaysians smoke. After the break, I'll ask Dr. Nizam why this ratio hasn't changed in the past 30 years. BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Eun Teik. I'm joined today by Dr. Nizam Baharum, a public health medicine specialist and medical lecturer. He's here to explain why he thinks 2018 is as good as any year to quit smoking. About one in four Malaysians are smokers, and this stat or rate has hardly changed in the past 30 years. Why does the rate remain so high?
That's about right. The studies shows that the prevalence of smoking among adults in Malaysia above 18 is around 24% since the last 20 to 30 years, like you said. There's a slight drop, but if you look at the overall effect, there's no significant changes. However, that number is only on prevalence. It does not show the density of it. So they may have smoked more before in the past, and the same prevalence is of smokers, the same prevalence of smokers today may smoke less. So in overall, there might be some changes in terms of smoking patterns in Malaysia. We need more data on this.
But do we know whether the volume of cigarettes sold has been increasing or decreasing?
Well, some people say the volume has been decreasing. And other non-confirmed studies have shown that perhaps not. Perhaps it remained the same or even more.
Yeah. So we don't know for sure whether new smokers are picking up in increasing rates.
Well, it depends. If you look at the youth data, the trend is definitely encouraging. It's downtrending, and the prevalence is going down among youth between 13 to 15 years old in Malaysia. So in terms of smoking culture among the youth, I can say it's definitely getting better. Yeah.
How would you describe the smoking culture? Do we have this culture that encourages smoking, that links it to, you know, creativity or masculinity?
Well, I think the knowledge of Malaysians is getting better. In terms of individual knowledge, I think there's everybody knows that smoking is bad for you. And in terms of culture for the whole society, there's a movement towards denormalizing smoking in Malaysia. The data shows that the urban people are smoking less than the rural folks. And also people with higher educational level is also smoking less. So knowledge is increasing, attitude is changing, and people are demanding more and more smoke-free areas.
Do we know why there is that change in behavior between urban and rural? Because it seems that buying cigarettes, especially if you are already a low-income earner, you're acting against your economic benefits. And you said most people who smoke already know that smoking is harmful anyways, but they still do it. Why is there this willful ignorance of the harmful effects of cigarette smoking?
Yeah, I think awareness does play a key role in this explanation. In the rural areas, there are more programs targeting youth, targeting the young adults and so forth. So they know more, and culture is a little bit like trend as well. So when people are moving towards non-smoking era, the crowd seems to follow. But in the rural, the changes is there, but a little bit slower in pace compared to in the urban areas.
So another reason that you say is a good 2018 is a good time to quit smoking is because prices of cigarette would only increase. But cigarette seems to be a price insensitive product. Why do you think 2018 will be different?
Oh, okay. I think if you're a smoker, you know perfectly clear it makes financial sense for you to quit, and even more in 2018. And I'll tell you why. Because if you don't already feel it, smoking is an expensive addiction, very expensive. Say you smoke for an average 5 packs a week, maybe 1 pack for a couple of days during the weekday, maybe a lot more during the weekends. So say on average 5 packs per week. For 17 ringgit per pack, you are burning away 85 ringgit per week. That's easily petrol money for many city folks drivers like me. 85 ringgit per week is what I pay for my petrol per week. So if you quit now in 2018, you'll be saving a lot for yourself. For the whole year, you'll be saving for about 4.5 grand for a medium consumption of cigarette, like I said before. And that is just a direct consumption of paying for the cigarettes. It doesn't include all the indirect costs like cost of illness, being off work because you're sick more, or the cost of your children being sick more because they are breathing the toxic fumes. And there's a lot of intangible costs that you do not include. So it is expensive to smoke in these days. But if you quit, you will already feel the benefit of financial benefit for not smoking. And for 2018, the price will only go up. It will never go down. Malaysian government is under a lot of regional and international strain to keep raising the tobacco taxes because the WHO FCTC urges governments around the world to raise the percentage of tobacco tax to 75% of the retail price. It means for every dollar you spend for cigarettes, 75% goes to tax.
What's the current rate?
Malaysia's achievement at the moment is around 56%. Okay. So there's a lot of room to go before you get to 75%.
Is that considered high or low compared to the international or regional average?
Depends who you compare it to.
Let us compare Southeast Asia.
If you compare it to countries like Singapore and Hong Kong, it's low, much lower than their rate. But you also have to look at the per income, per capita income, for you to have a fair comparison between the cigarette prices around Southeast Asia compared to other countries like Thailand, Laos, Cambodia. We are probably a little more expensive in Malaysia. However, there was no rise of tobacco taxes in 2017, so in 2018 the rise is overdue and expected. So smokers will have to dig deeper in their pockets in 2018 for sure.
So these are very rational and logical reasons why we should quit smoking. But the act of smoking, I think, is an irrational act, isn't it? So are these persuasive reasons?
It's not irrational. There are science behind it.
Yeah.
Because nicotine is a powerful and addictive substance.
Right.
Some scientists rated it at par or even higher than heroin or cocaine. So it is addictive, highly addictive. However, there are people who have been smoking 2 packs per day for 20, 30 years and they managed to quit cold turkey just overnight. So it shows it's partly chemical. It's also a lot about your willpower and motivation. So a lot of people have successfully quit, and why not you?
Do we know whether cold turkey or, you know, a gradual reduction is the better, more effective method?
There are many school of thoughts on smoking cessation and how you should do it for yourself. It depends. They say that for young adults, it's easier for them to go cold turkey because their addiction is pretty much lower than those who have established their smoking history for 20, 30 years. They would definitely go for a gradual approach.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we increase the sin tax on cigarettes, what the big tobacco companies would say is that this will only drive smokers towards the contraband or black market. And the market share of illicit cigarettes in Malaysia is high, 1 in 2, if I'm not mistaken. What is your response to that?
Okay, it is true that the industry always used this reason for the government not to raise tobacco tax. The government realised and is aware that illicit cigarette trades is an issue in Malaysia. And even the WHO stated that illicit cigarettes are undermining the tobacco control policy, especially tobacco taxes. Realising this, in May 2017, the Royal Customs Malaysian Department has declared an all-out war against illicit cigarettes. They will continue to work together with the Minister of Health, Domestic Trade and Consumerism Ministry and the Malaysia Maritime Enforcement Agency and many others to combat illicit cigarettes. They already proposed an amendment to their act to raise the minimum fine to 100,000 ringgit if you're found dealing with illicit cigarettes. So, in 2018, customs and the partners will go all out against illicit cigarettes. This will greatly reduce the demand from the consumers and also the supply from the traders. It means that in 2018, if you feel you could save up by buying cheaper illicit cigarettes, you'll probably be mistaken and the supply will probably run dry for you in 2018. Another reason is another government body called the National Kenaf and Tobacco Board. They will also implement tobacco retail licensing. It means that if you want to sell or handle any transaction for cigarette goods, you will have to require tobacco retail license.
At the moment, anyone can sell cigarettes?
Without license, yes. So Brunei has done this. Singapore has done this. It is also an effective means to control illicit cigarette at retail level, because if there's any evidence to indicate that you are dealing with illicit cigarette, the shopkeepers or restaurateurs will lose their license. So I think you'll find in 2018, it'll be a bit more difficult to find illicit cigarette.
Illicit cigarette has been a problem for a long time.
Yeah.
Is 2018 so much different from our previous efforts or, you know, pledge to stem out this problem?
It seems so, because the Royal Customs has increased or beefed up their programs on border control and also other initiatives like that duty-free islands to reduce the trade of illicit cigarettes, because it's a win-win situation to combat on illicit cigarettes. It's a win for the government to earn revenue from tobacco taxes. For example, for every one pack you switch to from buying illegal cigarettes to buying licit cigarettes, the government will earn 8 ringgit. So any reduction of illicit cigarette trade is a huge gain for the government. It's also a win-win for health as well. So definitely, it's a way forward for the customs, and you will see that the supply for illicit cigarettes in 2018 will be harder.
I guess one way that the tobacco companies have been trying to overcome this market share problem is to reintroduce the kitty pack. What is your thought on that?
Kitty pack is generally defined for packets of cigarettes being sold at less than 20 sticks per pack. So if you sell it at 5, 10 or 14, those are called kitty packs. It's called kitty pack because numerous studies worldwide have shown that adolescents are attracted to small and unique packaging, cigarette packaging. They find it convenient, they find it affordable. So kitty packs are seen as recruitment pack. So Malaysia has actually banned kitty pack or any cigarette sold less than 20 sticks per pack since January 2010. And it is also a requirement under Article 16 WHO FCTC. In this region, Singapore, Brunei, Cambodia, Vietnam, Korea, India, Mongolia, Australia and New Zealand have all banned kitty pack in their countries, some for a long since 2002. So kitty pack is, if they argue that kitty pack will increase the tobacco taxes revenue, in the long run, you will always lose because you are actually recruiting more and more smokers. So financially, health-wise, you will lose in the end. So a kitty pack in overall is no good for Malaysia or for any nation in that fact.
What about the sale of single cigarettes? Sure, you can ban kitty packs, but oftentimes, I think anecdotally at least, it's still very easy to buy one or two cigarettes and it's affordable. And so you don't feel the pinch of paying 17 ringgit up front.
True, yeah. And also it's loved by teenagers. Yeah. because that's what they want, just one cigarette to share among five boys. It's apparently still prevalent in rural areas. The regulation is there. The enforcement can be trickier because you have to prove the transaction. And if you are there watching over them with your uniform and your badges and whatnot, they will definitely not sell it in front of you. Yeah. It happens when you are not there. So again, there are one or two cases who are caught and jailed even. But the integrity of the retailers in Malaysia needs to be improved. Yeah.
What are the ways they can go about doing this? Sting operations, you know, undercover.
Yep, showcasing cases where they have been sentenced to jail, and also awareness among retailers and also among parents. And also in the rural area, I believe that the association, the People's Association within that area, can remind the shopkeepers not to sell loose cigarettes, especially to our children.
So what would be your parting message?
Right, okay. To all fellow smokers, please take that big step. Make 2018 the year for you to quit smoking. Google jomquit.com, and this might be the best thing you've ever done for yourself.
Dr. Nizam, thank you.
Thank you, Antek.
You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.